The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Holy smokes, Davis, did you see that?
The sun will come out, report day, report day. Wow, what a day.
Holy smokes, that was some kind of a move that we saw in the grains. Man, oh man, oh man. And we're going to get into all the details of it, but I'll just give you a clue here. It's all about the acres, and you guys know that. If you were paying attention to what's going on in the markets at all, you know that corn and soybean acres came in lower than expected. So we're going to talk about some of the details behind that, try to add some perspective to it on just how those acres moved around, where they went. The biggest question right now, Davis, might be where did the acres go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yep.
And this is going to be a fun conversation we're going to have today, buddy. But we also got to talk about the grain stocks report. Honestly, there were surprises in the grain stocks report as well. It's just that the acreage report kind of overwhelmed everybody. You know, okay, here we are. I mean, you gotta love the way the markets work. Because all week long, me, the guests that I've had on, everybody has been saying, everybody's going to talk about the acres report leading up to it, but we'll probably get the acres that we expect with beans up, corn down. And then, but I think the big surprise is going to come in the grain stocks reports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was right there with them. Yeah. I thought that's what was going to happen. So I love the markets. Just when Hawkeye Hamer, are you listening? Just when everybody gets loaded on one side of the canoe, what happens?
You throw that first pitch and he goes yard.
Goes yard. There's another big one that we should be talking. You know, honestly, what we should really be talking about today is the fact that Ian Happ took the first pitch of the 2018 Cubs season out
back of
the park
bat
to right field. Oh, man.
Big day, big
that
day.
That was exciting. That was exciting. Okay, we got a lot of details that we need to get to today. Dollar, basically unchanged right now. Crude was higher. Stocks, sharply higher. Feels like they're trying to make the run back up there to the highs. Corn was higher. Soybeans higher. Soybean meal, bean oil higher. Live cattle and feeder cattle. That was a smoke. Oh, man, they just smoked them today.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
lean
not
hogs,
too good a deal there.
Yep, lean hogs were mixed. Buddy, start taking me through the news, you know?
Yeah.
Let's get this done.
Right, right. And we'll just get a little bit of news, and then I'm hoping that you'll expound a little bit. So we'll be sure and get these closes in here. But to start with, short covering helped to lift winter wheat prices today, while spring wheat planting intentions weighed on prices. Old crop export sales of wheat of nearly 354,000 metric tons and almost 122,000 tons of new crop basically lined up with trade expectations, Chip.
Yeah, pretty low trade expectations on those sales there. But the spring wheat, I was really impressed by the ability of the winter wheat contracts to go ahead and follow corn and soybeans to the upside, while spring wheat was working to the downside.
Yeah, May hard red futures were 6.25 cents higher at 4.67 1/4. May soft red gained 5.5 cents to close at 4.51 even. Got ugly for spring wheat. May spring wheat down 11 cents at 5.78 1/2. Old crop corn export sales dipped under 1.4 million metric tons for the first time in 10 weeks, Chip, but were still solid at 1.353 million metric tons. Mm-hmm. Along with support from the acreage report, corn prices closed sharply higher.
Yeah, you know, that export sales number, that's not a bad number, 1.353 million tons.
No, not at all.
It may not be quite enough to get us to where USDA says we're going to end up at the end of the year, but we're competitive right now. I think we've got a good chance of getting there.
Well, May corn futures were 14.25 cents higher at 3.87 3/4. July corn firmed 14 cents to close at 3.96 1/4. December corn closed at 4.11 1/2. That's up 14.5 today. Woo!
Woo!
Bean export sales of 318,000 metric tons of old crop and just 70,000 tons of new crop beans fell short of expectations, but the smaller than expected soybean planting intentions for 2018 helped bean prices close sharply higher.
Yeah, I mean, nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw the the below year ago bean plantings number come. And I mean, that just overwhelmed it. And even with the, you know, there's been some selling in that market leading up to this report.
Sure.
Yeah. So maybe there were a few fresh shorts in the market that got flushed out, but a lot of this has got to be new buying that's coming into the market.
May soybean futures were 26¾ cents higher at 10.44¾. July beans jumped 26¾ to close at 10.55½. November beans closed at 10.47¾, up 31¼ cents on the day for your Novi contract. Live cattle futures were trading mixed ahead of today's USDA reports, but the sharply higher corn and soybean meal prices following the planting intentions estimates drove cattle futures sharply lower to limit down. As cattle feeding margins slide closer to red ink, there is some speculation feed yards will pull cattle forward, adding to an already hefty supply of market-ready cattle. April cattle down $2.25 at $113.75. June cattle fell $3 to close at $102.57½. April feeders $4.50 lower at $133.32½, Chip.
Yeah, that means that we're going to start next week with some expanded limits in the cattle complex. And starting the week out with expanded limits, after giving guys a three-day weekend to think about what's going on and looking at their margin calls and everything, that sets the stage for another ugly day when we get here on Monday. But, you know, it's just become overwhelming. All of a sudden now everybody seems to think that we were backed up, but now because of feed prices, because of this, because of that, because of what the trend in the cash market, these feed yards are going to try to get ultra current, which means that there would be a lot of cattle coming to market over the next couple of weeks.
Okay, so we've got all that wrapped up, but there were more than just grain reports coming out today.
Yes.
We got the quarterly hogs and pigs report. Chip, have you seen the H&P report?
Yes. Yeah, all hogs and pigs on March 1 up 3% from year ago. The trade expected a 3.1% increase, so lined up really nicely there. On the kept for breeding category as of March 1, up 2% from year ago. The trade expected 101.5. But the way that USDA rounds with their numbers, I haven't had time to dig into the numbers real close to figure out just how much of an increase it is. Because if you round the average trade guess, that would get you to 102. So maybe the breeding herd is just a touch heavy compared to trade expectations. And then on the kept for marketing, a 3% increase on the kept for marketing's number on hogs as well. Trade expected a 3.3% increase there. Now, looking forward, when we look at the farrowing intentions, for March-May farrowing intentions, we got a 102, 2% increase from a year ago. Trade was looking for a 2.1% increase. On the June-August farrowing intentions, a 1% increase. Trade was looking for a 1.7% increase. So maybe those June-Aug farrowing intentions are just a touch lighter than what the trade was expecting. And as a result, you never know. That could end up being just a little bit supportive for us there as we get into the trade next week. All right, Davis. Give us hog closes real quick.
Real quick, April 32.5 cents higher, 133.32½. June down 7.5 cents, 76.55. Although we closed before that report, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, very good. We've got the USDA report details coming up next.
Receive a free evaluation of the powerful Daily Grain Plan newsletter from Roche Ag Marketing. Start your subscription today by texting Roche to 31313. That's text Roche to 31313.
Carrier message and data rates may apply. More than one message may be sent to deliver content.
Over 85% of farmers want to sell their crops, not trade the markets. The Roche Ag Grain Plan newsletter is designed for one purpose, to help you sell your crops at peak prices to buyers you trust. Get a newsletter and cash selling advice that has a 91% renewal rate. For a free trial of the Daily Grain Plan newsletter, text Roche to 31313. That's text Roche to 31313 to start your subscription today.
Carrier message and data rates may apply. More than one message may be sent to deliver content.
Hey, Bill. any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
What makes SO4 the smart sulfur source? Superior solubility for delivering sulfur and calcium when the plant needs it throughout the entire growing season. Other sulfur sources release too quickly or too slowly, failing to meet the crop's full needs. SO4 is also pH neutral, so it won't acidify the soil like those other sulfur sources. As you can see, SO4 is the smart sulfur source. Talk to your agronomist or learn more at calciumproducts.com.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Hey.
Oh.
Markets move fast. Keep pace with the experts right here on AgriTalk After the Bell.
Wow.
Can I hop in here, Chip?
Somebody better.
Little Timberlake for you. This doesn't work for everybody. By my own official survey, I got to be at the top end of the Timberlake demographic.
You think?
But my news wife is a little younger than me, so I was kind of grandfathered in. If your lady ever mentions Justin Timberlake to you, take her to see the show. We just went and saw him in fabulous Chicago.
Yeah.
That's where we were.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You take your lady to see Timberlake live and good things will happen.
I don't know.
I'm going to leave that there.
Let's
JT. J to the T. Good things will happen.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to. Ashley, if you only knew what he was saying about you. Man.
I know. It's a good thing she can't work the radio.
Yeah. Oh, man. Welcome back to ATB, everybody.
Woo.
Big day today. Corn, soybean, sharply higher. Soybean meal, bean oil higher. And that cattle trade, good grief. We didn't talk about it a whole lot. But the cash cattle trade this week, Davis, really backed off from last week, too, didn't it?
Yeah, yesterday around 120, 121, didn't do much to fuel that bullish enthusiasm, as they say.
No, so you get it off $5. Well, now I got a feeling that the Packers are going to think that they got them on the run, got the feed yards on the run, and the guys are going to be looking to maybe be a little bit more aggressive on their marketings. And I'm not saying that we were backed up to begin with, but if we see this kind of price combination coming to the cattle trade – with the cash market under even just light pressure, but your feed costs going up like they did today, some of the guys might be looking to pull some cattle forward, bring our weights down, but our numbers up.
And before we get to the reports real quick, I mean, you were talking about the summertime hogs with the farrowing intentions. If I'm looking out at live cattle futures, I've got June at like 102.57, August at 101.47. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, when we talked with Artac on Monday, well, no, not just Monday, the last two Mondays, he was warning about that 108.50 level in the June contract, that if we got to close under the 108.50, I think it was 108.52. If we got to close under that level, all of a sudden we'd be looking at the mid-90s just from a chart perspective. Now we've thrown a little bit of fundamental pressure onto them as well.
June down $3 even today at 102.57 and a half, looks like.
That's right. That's right. Let's do some on grain stocks.
Yeah, let's start with the easy one. What do you say? Wheat?
Yes.
All right, USDA reported March 1 wheat stocks in all positions at 1.493 billion bushels. That was right in line with pre-report trade expectations. But, Chip, that was up about 80 million from a year ago. The stocks data allowed winter wheat futures to follow corn and soybean prices to the upside today. That weighed on spring wheat futures. That was the other thing, spring wheat seedings estimate, but we'll get to that later in the show.
Yeah.
But not a huge surprise on the wheat stocks there.
Yeah, no. No surprise there. Wheat stocks were within 5 million bushels of the average trade guess. And when you take a look at the breakdown on it, total stocks, let's see, down 10% from a year ago. Get this, off-farm stocks, just 259 million bushels, down 26% from a year ago.
Yeah.
The off-farm stocks were still down, but they were down just 6% from a year ago. So what that tells me is that the guys in wheat country, on that bump that we had back in June on the drought up in the northern plains, June and into July, that was a lot of incentive for guys to go ahead and forward price their wheat crop. They made arrangements, cash market, get that crop delivered. They're holding on to a little bit of wheat out there in the countryside, but not a lot, 260 million bushels. So they've done a nice job of cleaning up their on-farm stocks. Now, the off-farm stocks, 1.24 billion bushels, that's a lot of wheat to be held off-farm. But we've talked about the carry in the wheat market, the elevators. I mean, there's got to be a lot of basis movement, a lot of basis improvement to get some of those elevators out there interested at all in draining their wheat supplies or their wheat stocks, because they're just continuing to capture the carry that's in the market. And variable rate storage has got something to do with that, I'm sure of that. But there's just not a lot of incentive for those wheat elevators to be moving wheat. So we've got big stocks.
Yep. In light of that, opportunities to sell upcoming, or do we take advantage of this 5-6 cent pop here?
You know,
I hate to ask you that.
Yeah, it's tough. You know what? You know what? Save that question. Save that question for when we get to the acres, because I think after we talk about the spring wheat acres, we can we can do a better job answering that question. Yeah.
Let's move on to March 1 bean stocks. Chip, you always tell me that bean demand, which is bean use, is one of the easier usage categories to follow, but we still got March 1 bean stocks of 2.107 billion bushels. That's about 80 million more than what the trade expected.
Yeah, that's a big surprise, Davis. Mm-hmm. When you take a look at that stocks number, 80 million bushels, dude, we got the crush data. NOPA crush data. We can extrapolate that into total crush, and it gives us a real good idea of just how many beans were crushed domestically. We get our export inspections numbers. We talk about it every Monday, right?
Yep, so, we sure do.
Yeah, so we get those export inspections numbers. We know how many soybeans are leaving the country. And even if there's a little bit of overflow one way or the other on the calendar, you can still do a pretty decent job of figuring out exactly how many beans would be left. Well, if we can do it, there's 100 million other guys out there that are doing the same thing. So when you get a miss on the stocks numbers like this in March, it's telling you something about the previous year's crop. Hmm. And in this case, it is telling us that we underestimated last year's crop. So as we look forward to the April supply and demand report, all of a sudden, I think maybe we need to start anticipating a negative residual category for soybeans in the supply and demand. Now, what that means is when you put a negative number into usage, what you're really doing is adding to total supply. And that's how they would account for now for that crop that apparently has been underestimated from 2017. Huh. Okay? So when you put a negative usage number in, that's one of those things that could jack up your carryover estimate as well. We're at 555 right now on 2017-18 bean carryover, but the stocks were were 80 million bushels bigger than what the trade was expecting. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to take all 80 million and put them on to and put them on to carryover, but you got to put at least half on there. All of a sudden, we could be bumping up against 600 million bushels in the next supply and demand report for soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not – it's one of those factors, Davis, that makes me think after the guys think about this over a three-day weekend, and good grief, we were sharply higher on soybeans today.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be one of those things that, you know what, maybe that wasn't quite as bullish as we thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to watch out.
Let me run some of these percentages. Yeah. Total stocks up 21% from a year ago.
Yep.
On farm, up 28% from a year ago. Off farm – up 17% from last year. Implied use second quarter 17-18 marketing year was 379 million bushels. That's down 10% from the same quarter last year.
Yeah.
I don't like what that's telling us.
No, what it tells me is that we've been told all along that guys have been doing a good job of moving their beans. Well, if we've got that many soybeans out there and that much of an increase from a year ago still stored on farm, maybe the bean sales weren't as aggressive as many think. And number two, it's record supplies. Whenever you're dealing
right?
Yeah, whenever you're dealing with record supplies, it's kind of hard to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. You ready to flip to corn stocks?
You bet I am.
All right, 8.888 billion bushels, Chip, up about 260 million from last year, 180 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. Buddy, that looks to me like if the acreage numbers on corn would have lined up with trade expectations, this might have been a negative number.
Oh, it would have been. It would have been 180 million bushels more than the average trade guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same situation as it is with soybeans. Now, remember all the talk that I've had it. All the guests on ATB leading up to today, we were basically all in general agreement that because of the cattle numbers, because of the hog numbers, because of the poultry numbers, you know, take a close look at the March 1 corn stocks. They could come in lower than expected because our feed mm-hmm. demand is so good.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying that is wrong. I think our feed demand is outstanding. But when you take this stocks number over to the supply and demand table, and I was on the soapbox the other day with Chip Nellinger on Monday.
I remember. Yeah,
saying
a borrowed soapbox.
It just drives me crazy when we're dealing with a feed and residual category, because these March 1 stocks, they will send some false signals out there to the marketplace that, you know what, maybe we're not using as much corn for feed as what we think we are. Okay, maybe that is the case, but it could also be the case that we're just working with less residual use. Same story mm-hmm. as soybeans, and maybe that crop last year, maybe it was even bigger than what they've told us, you know?
All stocks up 3% from year ago on corn.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, bud, hey, when we come back, we got to get to the acreage reports. We're going to be doing that next because there were some big surprises in here. Not exactly sure how to explain all of it, but we'll take a shot at it on ATB.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
It's time for After the Bells Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at June lean hog futures today. Surprisingly large slaughter, seasonal ham weakness, a weather-delayed grilling season, and Chinese trade fears recently sent hog prices diving. The June contract had reached $85.85 per hundredweight on January 9th, but had plunged all the way to $73.22 last Friday. Despite fears of a bearish quarterly hogs and pigs report today, a huge wave of short covering hit the most active June contract Wednesday. It dipped to a fresh low at $72.95, then soared to $76.62 at the close. Its close was above its 10-day moving average yesterday and today, suggests a bullish follow-through will be forthcoming. From a seasonal standpoint, the June future, less than a cent above the winter cash high, looks much too low.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that very much. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at ProFarmer.com.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to Pro Farmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Thank you for calling XYZ Financial. To pay your credit card bill, say, "Hey, Bill." I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you. To speak with an operator, press 0. Gracias por elegir español. Para pagar su factura de tarjeta de crédito.
Your FarmDog USA assistant won't be able to pay your credit card bill, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Expert analysis from the CME floor and experts across the country. This is AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Put me in, Coach. Here we go now. All right. Baseball season is finally here. You know, Davis.
Yeah.
Since my Iowa State Cyclone men's basketball team really didn't perform up to what we've become accustomed to at Iowa State.
It's a high standard.
Yeah, it is a high standard. I'll admit that I have been very much looking forward to the start of the baseball season.
Well, I've got my jersey all greased up, so I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, I'm wearing eye black today.
Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I kind of like that look, you know, just here in the studios in South Bend. And plus, it's intimidating. I'm walking around. I see Clinton Griffiths. I see Tyne Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do my best to intimidate those guys, and
absolutely.
The eye black helps.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, that's good. You know, you got to stay on top, baby.
Darn right.
You got to claw your way up there. Hey, let me run down these closes for you quick, because I want to get to this prospective plantings deal. May hard red futures 6.25 cents higher, 4.67 1/4. May soft red up 5.5 to close at 4.51 even. And I got to throw in May spring wheat down 11 cents at 5.78 1/2. May corn futures 14.25 cents higher, but 3.87 3/4. Dece at 4.11 1/2. That's up 14.5 cents on the day. May soybean futures 26.75 cents higher, gang, at 10.44 3/4. Novi at 10.47 3/4. That's up 31 1/4 cents on the day. Livestock April cattle down $2.25 at $113.75. April feeders $4.50 lower at $133.32 1/2. And I got to correct myself. I think I said April lean hogs 32 1/2 cents higher to $133.32 1/2. No way that's correct.
No,
it's $57.25. April lean hogs up 32 1/2 to $57.25.
Gotcha. All right.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Let's move on to the prospective plannings report today.
Okay.
Give us the wide view, and then we'll narrow it in. What do you say?
Yeah, and I'm glad you're starting there, Davis, because when you take a look at all the principal crop acres, compared to a year ago. Well, the total planted to the principal crops this year, 317,989,000 total acres, down 1.158 million from last year, okay? Mm-hmm. So you start looking around, where the heck are these acres disappearing from? Right away, your eye gets drawn to to Nebraska and Kansas. It's really about that simple. You look at Nebraska on all principal crop acres off 323,000, Kansas down 319,000, and there's some other big movers here. You got Iowa down 151,000, Illinois off 145. Indiana, I don't quite understand this one. Indiana with. And I'm not going to say that it's a small number of acres, but when you compare it to Illinois or Iowa, it is a smaller total, and you're still off 140,000 total acres there planted to the principal crops in 2018, at least on the intention side. Minnesota off 162,000. And then when you look at the gainers, you know, you got 20 million plus in Missouri. In the Midwest, 20 million added in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But then you look at Arkansas, up 309,000. Go up to North Dakota, 337,000 acre increase in crops planted in principal crops. Out to Colorado, 163,000 gain there. Those are some big increases, but obviously it doesn't offset the decreases with all crop acres off 1.158 million from last year.
Well, and let me just zoom in on just a tiny little stat here. Missouri sorghum at 300% of year ago. Corn at 100% of year ago. Beans 99% of last year's acreage. Yep. Sorghum up 300%.
Yeah.
Some of those acres obviously are going to sorghum.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And it you know what that might be is that could be a cutback on some soft red acres. Instead of planting the soft red winter wheat acres, they decided to go with a different crop, and sorghum may be what they chose there.
According to the USDA, let's just start right on the lid. Yep. Corn planted area for all purposes in 2018 estimated at 88.0 million acres, down 2% or 2.14 million acres all told from last year.
Yeah, 88.026, so 88.0 million acres. Mm-hmm. You know, the average trade guess going into this was 89.42.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off. I don't want to do the math in my head, but we're off sharply from the average trade guess here. And when you think about just how significant that is, my goodness gracious, it's a big move from the trade expectations. And whenever you get that kind of a move, you got to start thinking, man, oh man, where are we losing those acres? Okay, so let's see. It was off one point. I knew I had the number someplace. I just had to find it. It was 1.394 million acres below the average pre-report trade guess. Pretty astonishing there on corn. So when we look at the state-by-state changes, there's no change to expected corn acres in South Dakota, Iowa, Missouri, down into Tennessee. No changes from a year ago. But when you look all around it, everything's a decline. You got North Dakota off 370,000. Get this number. Minnesota off 550,000 acres from a year ago. Wisconsin down 50,000. Illinois off 200,000 acres from last year. Indiana down 250,000 acres from a year ago. Kentucky's off. You got Kansas down 400,000 acres from last year. And I don't remember if I mentioned Nebraska or not, but I'll say it again if I did. Off 250,000 acres from a year ago. I mean, it's like they were running from corn. And we anticipated that there was going to be a setback in corn acres, but we did not expect a 2.141 million acre drop from year ago on total corn plantings. I mean, the Pro Farmer Doan survey did as good a job as anybody, as anyone. 88.4 is where they were at on this. So when we get a total in here at 88.0, there was one number, that's it, that was under it, and everybody kind of thought that, they're just out of bounds on that. And it was down there close to 87.5 million. Who knows? Yep. That 87.5 million might be an indicator of where we're going. I don't think it is, but I really like the Pro Farmer Doan number right now at 88.4. Get some back.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing. Yeah. The number one gainer over last year's corn acreage, up 125% of year ago, Nevada.
Yeah.
Right behind them, Georgia at 114, Oregon at 112. Now, Nevada is estimated to put in 15,000 acres of corn.
Right.
Opposed to last year's 12.
They're adding 3,000 acres.
So, you know, there is that. But you're right, 33 of 48 estimated states either unchanged or down on corn acreage. Let's move on to beans, down 1%. Right. Estimated at 89.0 million acres, down 1 percentage point from last year. Compared with last year, planted acreage intentions are down or unchanged in 20 of the 31 estimating states. A lot of movement there.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of movement. So when you take a look at how it compares to the trade expectations, 88.982 million planted, down 1.16 million acres from a year ago. Also 2.074 million acres, 2 million, call it 2.1 million acres below the average pre-report trade guess. I mean, that's a big mess. No question that's a big mess. So, again, where's it happening? I want to take you straight back to Minnesota.
Okay.
You know, they were off 550,000 acres on corn. Minnesota's expected to be off 250,000 acres on soybeans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa down 200,000. Nebraska off 100,000. Kansas down 250,000. You got Missouri off just 50,000. Ohio off 250,000, Michigan off 130,000. And then the increases, the biggest increase in the big states, the big corn-producing states, right there in Illinois, up 150,000 acres from a year ago on soybean plantings. South Dakota is down 50 and no change in North Dakota. So, you know, I think I said Indiana, right, on the big increase, 150,000. I just want to make sure of that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a lot of movement, but it's all to the downside. And you know what, Davis?
Yeah.
Before we get into some of the other numbers, I made a note when I was looking at some of these, and it makes me wonder if the farm economy is finally catching up with what growers are willing to spend to plant a crop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about the part of the reason that everybody was anticipating that we were going to see that increase in bean acres is because it's cheaper to plant soybeans than it is to plant corn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what if it's even too expensive to plant soybeans in some of these states now? What if your land costs are still eating up too much of your potential gross revenue on soybeans? You know, that's one of those factors that we always knew that the economy at some point will get stinky enough.
Mm-hmm.
That it will start to chew into the total planted acres. So then you start thinking, okay, well, where's that showing up? And my expectation all along was that what the guys would do when they finally decided that they were going to cut back on their total planted acres is that we would see more of those acres go over to grassland, more of it come back to hay. And so one of the first things I did is I went and I looked at the hay numbers. Yeah, they're off 58,000 acres from a year ago. So that's
down
not the,
58,000.
Yeah, yep. So that's not the answer there yet either. That's not the answer yet either.
Interesting.
Yeah. But in the Dakotas, it could be what we're going to talk about in the next segment, and that's spring wheat. But, you know, when you look at your cuts, you got a 2.141 million acre cut in corn acres, a 1.16 million acre cut in soybean acres. But here's the other crops that are also down. Canola down 1,000, potatoes down 5,000, tobacco down 12,000, sunflowers 18,000, sugar beets off 18,000, hay down 58,000, dry beans down 61,000, barley, that's beer, you know, barley off 195,000, Durham wheat, when we expected a big increase in Durham wheat acres, off 303,000 acres, and you got to have peanuts to go with your beer, and they're off 334,000 acres from a year ago.
It's a bold new future, Chip.
A lot of those acres moving over to spring wheat, but that doesn't account for everything. We've also got some increases in cotton and sorghum. We're going to talk about that next on ATB.
What do you think, sweets? Should I wear this dress or the green dress tonight? Oh, really? You thought the green one looked better? This is the green dress. I swear.
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to help your wife make intelligent fashion decisions. But he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at farmdog.org. That's PHARMdog.org.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Sorting through information on weed resistance is hard work. FJWeedControlSolutions.com is the answer. Farm Journal partnered with Bayer to create your go-to source for up-to-date, concise weed control solutions. Listen to some of the latest advice shared.
Giving your crops a competitive edge helps reduce weeds and increase herbicide effectiveness. Certain cultural weed management practices help you do this by promoting early, vigorous crop growth. Four key cultural weed management tools include crop rotation, planting dates, row spacing, and cover crops. Visit us online to find out more about these critical components of a good weed management program, as well as other valuable cultural weed management tips.
See the whole story and more at FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Fresh updates to keep you on top of today's fast-changing weed control news. Timely and accurate information from sources you can depend on. Visit FJWeedControlSolutions.com. Brought to you by Farm Journal and Bayer.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best soybean yield ever. But frog eye leaf spot, brown spot, aerial blight, and white mold can get in your way. New DeLauro fungicide will help you fight them. DeLauro delivers unmatched preventative and curative defense against yield-robbing diseases, so your varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with DeLauro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
So, Mr. Woof, is it? Are you absolutely sure you want to take your money out of this strategic financial portfolio and put it all into dog toys?
Your Farm Dog USA assistant won't be able to make savvy financial decisions for you, but he will be able to help around the farm by picking up drop tools, managing your herd, and opening latch gates. Learn more at pharmdog.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day.
Next Era Energy Resources, an American company working side-by-side with farmers and ranchers to harness the power of the wind and create local jobs for small towns. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
All right, Carl's getting a big thumbs up through the window here in the studio right now. Thank you, Carl, for doing that. Appreciate it. Welcome back to ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Hey, Davis, before we get into the what's left of this prospective plantings report, we got CR from Missouri on the line. CR, right. Welcome to ATB. How you doing today?
Just fine, sir. And you?
Good, good, good. What's on your mind?
Well, I got a question. These reports are out. Yep. This is USDA. Yep. Is this a survey they take? And yes. Is it like, can you give me a little bit about what exactly what all they go through? And that's all. I just wanted to find out.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yep. Good. You bet, CR. Thank you for calling. Good point. We should have talked about that right from the beginning, CR, and make sure that everybody understood exactly what is going on here. So, yes, these are survey-based numbers, both on the prospective plantings and on the quarterly grain stocks report. And even go back to the hogs and pigs numbers that we talked about at the start of the show, Davis. Those are survey-based estimates as well. So the grain stocks survey, I'm not exactly sure what the deadline is on it, but we got to remember that those are as of March 1. So there's been a lot of price movement in corn. There's been a lot of price movement in soybeans. There's been a big increase in movement in March. So those numbers right now, as we stand today, especially the on-farm numbers, are going to be lower than what was indicated by the March 1 quarterly grain stocks report. Now, the prospective plantings report, the planting intentions numbers, that survey starts in late February, and I believe it goes until like the 10th of March, something like that. Again, there's been some changes in market incentives. And I think that when you look at the decline in soybeans from a year ago, you look at the decline in corn acres from a year ago, the big increase in spring wheat acres that we're about to talk about, a lot of that may have been market driven. And now that we've had that 410 pricing opportunity on Dease corn, now that we've had a 1050 pricing opportunity on November beans, maybe that's starting to attempt to buy some acres back from wherever they were going. Okay.
Well, here, I've got a quick thought on that.
Yeah.
Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Nebraska, and Wisconsin all sharply higher on oats acres this year.
Yeah.
A lot of oats going in this year.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem with oats is a lot of times in Iowa, it got to the point that if you had a tiling job to do, you'd strip farm your corn, plant oats in the middle,
right?
Harvest those oats in July, and then get a summer tiling rate. Because, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not a bad way to go. So you're saying tile is the cash crop this year.
tile has been a cash crop the guys have been putting in the ground for a while. So love it. But yes, CR, great question. This is survey-based. This is growers' intentions, according to the National Ag Statistics Service, the survey that they did and rounded up the numbers. So, okay.
Yep, all wheat planted area for 2018 estimated at 47.3 million acres, up 3% from 2017, the second lowest all wheat planted area on record since 1919.
Yeah. Wow. When you take a look at the spring wheat numbers, the average trade guess, and you know, I wish I had the number right in front of me, but I believe the Pro Farmer Doan survey did an awesome job. Awesome job of predicting or coming up with what the other spring wheat planted acres would be, because USDA put them at 12.627 million. The average trade guess going into this was 11.5. Yeah, so all told, when you look at all the major spring wheat growing states, we're up 1.618 million acres from a year ago. So we've talked about Minnesota. They lost, 550,000 acres of corn. They lost 250,000 acres of soybeans. Well, that's 800,000 acres right there. They're getting 440,000 of them back in spring wheat. North Dakota, 1.05 million acre increase in spring wheat seedings intentions. South Dakota, just an 80,000 acre increase. But you got Idaho up 20,000 acres on this too. So There's been quite a bit of movement. And Washington up 35,000 acres. So it's there's a lot of movement on it. I'm telling you, that 1.6 million acre increase, that's the reason that we saw some double-digit losses in spring wheat futures today. Makes me wonder. But now, if the guys have already – if the guys that are planning on increasing their spring wheat acres have already priced – that increase in acres, then we're not going to lose them. We're not going to lose them. They're going to go with them. Plus, it's cheaper to put it in the ground than what corn is. It's cheaper to put it in the ground than what soybeans are. So they could. These could be a lock. These could be a lock on that big increase in spring wheat acres, Davis.
Okay.
Yep.
I
wanted to talk about cotton just real quick if we could.
Do it. I was going to ask about that.
Okay, good. So when we
up 7% above last year,
7%,
13.5.
Yeah. 13.469 million total. The trade expected 13.292 million acre increase. When you look at the, of course you got to look at the big states, and there's a little bit of an increase expected in, Georgia. You got Georgia up 170,000. You got Texas up 398,000 acres from a year ago on cotton. And there's been all this talk, all this speculation that we were going to see a big increase in Oklahoma and in Kansas potentially. Not bad. Oklahoma up 95,000 acres and Kansas 37,000 acre increase. And it's expected to be record plantings of cotton in Kansas this year at 130,000 acres. So some big increases there. Buddy, we need to wrap this up. We got to get rolling here, man. Let's get to it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by All Beef Hot Dogs. Whether we're at the ballpark or at a Timberlake concert, where's the beef? Improve your life with some All Beef Hot Dogs, people. And now today's tweets at B. Winnikins. I see the Cubs are playing a minor league team to start the season. Hashtag go Brewers. How is this not being radio edited? At Jim Smith 87. Oh, goody. Another ho-hum boring ATB today. Northeast Iowa farmer. Today, I took my wife to see JT in Vegas. Davis Michelson ain't lying. One more at Gary Vedder. No market rally. Local station went to the Royals game. Cattle are in the crapper. And my corn I buy just got higher. Baseball trumps the market.
Yes.
All beef hot dogs, anyone?
Yes. I love that. I love that.
Leave
good
all have
stuff.
To.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk with you again tomorrow. Happy Easter, everyone. The markets are closed tomorrow. Tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, we're going to revisit some stories. And Monday on ATB, Chris Barron.
Putting in a hard day's work, doing the right thing, treating people with respect. American values as true as the wind that blows through our farms. For nearly 30 years, there's been an American company working side by side with farmers to harness the power of wind, creating local jobs and new reliable sources of income for small towns. We are NextEra Energy Resources, an American company, proud to bring clean, renewable energy home. Learn more at NextEraEnergyResources.com.
10 finalists, 3 winners, it's all up to you. Have you voted yet? We asked farmers to show us the power on their farms. And now 10 finalists have a chance to win a Dream Sports trip and help their communities with a $10,000 donation to build or revitalize a sports field or community space. See our finalists and vote now at PowerToDoMore.com. Sponsored by Resicor Corn Herbicide.